Over 1,000 years ago, the Chinese people built a great wall to protect them. There are many legends. This is one of them. Today, on the Prop History Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Prop History Podcast. My name is Mike.
I'm Greg.
And this is a podcast where we sort of talk about props.
Sort of, kind of.
Mostly. We never stay on topic.
Nah, no.
So, as many of you know, our podcast, the Prop History Podcast, is officially sponsored by Prop Store.
The Prop Store of London and Los Angeles, where you can get all your prop costume and production news needs.
PropStore.com or PropStore.uk. Now, because we are in fact sponsored by Prop Store, one of the things about that sponsorship is that when they have big title auctions, like for a specific movie or series or whatever, they send us props.
Yeah, they sent us something today. Well, we got it yesterday, I guess.
We got it yesterday, actually, yeah. So they sent us a gigantic box. Within was held.
It was huge. It was biggest box ever. It was huge.
Never again. Not on this podcast. They sent us a gigantic box with two props in it, a shield and sword. And it is for their current auction that started today, July 16th, and runs through July 30th. It is for The Great Wall from 2016, starring Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal.
It didn't occur to me that The Mandalorian was in this movie.
Right, and also the guy that needs rescued all the time.
Right.
Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah. And William Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe is in it as well.
So.
And it is, when you look at it on paper, this movie, it is special effects by ILM, props were done by Weta.
Right.
You would expect a pretty good movie.
And Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal. And
generally a great actor. And the director whose name I'm going to... So I want to say this right off the bat. I am probably going to avoid names of the Chinese director and the cast just because I don't want to screw them up, and I don't want to come across as being insensitive, so I'm just going to say the person. And
yeah, no.
So
I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm concerned about mispronunciation, because yeah. I know that the pronunciation is different from how we would read it sometimes.
Right.
So there is an enormous Chinese cast in this. Of course, it is a co-American Chinese-produced film, which is, it's one of the first of its kind to be this big of a big-budget film. And it's pretty.
Oh, my God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it is like Avatar pretty. It really is. And the props, because they are made by Weta, are, as you would expect, magnificent.
Amazing.
And currently, because we are sponsored by Prop Store, Prop Store's auction has a whole bunch of the armor and weapons and stuff up for auction. And I mean a stupid amount of it up for auction right now. And it's propstore.com, propstore.uk, and get registered for the auction.
I mean, the cool thing about that is that that shows like just how much stuff they made. And like they didn't say, okay, we're going to make 12 shields and the rest is going to be CGI. No, it looks like they made hundreds and hundreds of these things.
This is like, and this isn't the first time stuff from Great Wall has come up for auction either, because there's been other auctions for Great Wall in the past.
Oh, I missed those.
And because I was looking online at different props that had gotten out into circulation, and there's people that have whole suits of armor already that got them from like History for High, or excuse me,
Profiles?
Profiles in History, and a couple of other different auction houses. And this is just another one from Prop Store. And you can kind of tell that they've got so much stuff that they're just trying to move it, because whole groupings of shields, the armor is coming with all of its accoutrements. It's not just pieces of armor, it's the whole sets. So, and there's tons of it on there. So go to Prop Store and bid on some of it, because you get just, because regardless of how you feel about the movie, the props are gorgeous.
Yeah, and you know, like as a prop collector, I have found that I don't have a whole lot of screen use stuff, because I'm more interested in like the things that that I made or that friends made. And but like with this, like I know we have a shield here in the shop and the scabbard and it's going to stay here in the shop, but like I kind of want a piece for my personal collection for no other reason than Weta made it. I mean, these are the same folks that made all of the armor and weapons and stuff for the Lord of the Rings movies and just everything these days. They are the place to do this stuff.
They have, like, I've never seen anything come out of Weta that was not amazing. Right. So they are top. Now, when you just actually said that we're that the sword and shield that we got from prop stores hanging up in the shop.
The shop.
This is the first podcast ever recorded at the new shop.
Yay!
I have moved out of my tiny little... We talked about this in the last one that I was moving. And we are now in my much larger, much more well-appointed shop in a permanent house for the podcast. This is the permanent home of the Prop History Podcast.
Yeah, this is definitely no longer Mike's tiny shop.
No, it's no longer called that either. It's actually, this is actually MTS Props now. This is, I do believe it is one of only, if not the only, full-time prop houses, prop shops in the city of Indianapolis.
Very cool.
So...
Yeah, I mean, we always say this at the end, but, you know, follow Mike on Props to History, especially on TikTok. But, you know, like everywhere he's at, it's Props to History. But you can see, like, you do videos and tours of what the shop looks like on the inside. And you know, you have this great space here where we're at. We're doing our podcast in the front foyer. Or yep. Foyer of yep. the...
This is the showroom, yeah. So to speak. And actually, you'll be able to see a lot more of it here in the middle of August. Fox will actually be out here to do an interview with me
nice.
In the shop. So yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, let's be clear. It's not like National Fox, but, you know...
Well, I mean, it's AP.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it might be interesting enough for three people to pay attention to, and that's okay.
No, yeah.
That's pretty neato.
Well, I just wanted to say it's not Fox News or something.
No, it's like National Fox. Yeah. It's just Associated Press. So, yeah. And
that's
totally
awesome, though.
Awesome, though.
Yeah. No, I'm not demeaning it at all.
No, yes, you are. It's fine, though.
No, I'm not, really. I got a knife. Don't.
I know you have a knife, but it's okay. I have a drill motor. What are you going to do about that?
We're going to chase each other around the shop with the
This is tools. The greatest... prop-related podcast.
Yeah. So, Great Wall. What did you think of the movie? Let's get into the meat of that.
As a film fan, and I'm no aficionado, I'm no expert on film. I, in my absolute, moderately well-educated opinion, it was shit. The movie, the plot was silly. A lot of the scenes that they had were over the top, unnecessary action. It was pretty. It was fun to watch. It's a popcorn munching movie. It really is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the monsters were cool.
Yes.
But it was so much of it was so over the top. It was unnecessary.
There was one point my wife and I were watching it, and she's like, so does Matt Damon normally have an accent? I'm like, yeah, but it's a Boston accent. She goes... And then another point, she's like, did he forget his accent?
I'm like... It was very... So I had that moment while I was watching it, because I was like, oh, it's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I had the same thought. It's like, are we doing accents today? I don't know, Kevin. What do you think?
Yeah, because you can tell, like, almost from the beginning of the movie, he's, like, trying to affect an accent of some sort, which it's unidentifiable. And then he just gives up.
Yeah.
He's very much... Kevin Costner's it. And it's... Because, as a lot of people know... In Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, at the very beginning of the movie, he sort of has an accent and then just gives up. Yeah. And that's exactly what Matt Damon did in this one. So
yeah, I don't even know what accent he was trying to come across.
It's hard to say. It really is. Because he and Pedro Pascal are more or less mercenaries.
Yes.
Trying to steal the secret of gunpowder.
Yep. And, but, you know, I thought they had a great relationship on they camera. Did, yeah. They had good chemistry and... There were a couple of witty lines for them and like the whole arrow shooting thing. And it was like, are we doing this again? Yeah, we're doing this again.
And it was scenes like that that really just took me out of the movie because it seems so unnecessary.
Yeah.
It added nothing to the story whatsoever.
And it proved that he was a good,
proved that he was a good archer, but there were other ways to do it that made more sense.
Yeah.
Because the shots that he pulled off there were impossible. Like, it just completely ignored the rules of physics. But of course, there's also what amounts to aliens in it, too.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, the movie was Starship Troopers meets The Two Towers meets Predator, except the worst parts of all three of those movies.
I'd say that's a fair assessment.
That said, I didn't hate it. Like the acting was pretty bad, but, and I don't know that the story was any good, but like, I didn't want my money back, you know, after renting it, so.
No, and after I, you know, I did the whole thing, I got it off of Amazon and sat and watched it, and I didn't feel bad about watching it, but I will say, you brought up Starship Troopers. There is another thing about this that almost ties it into Starship Troopers. So, as you know, for Starship Troopers. They made over 1,000 sets of armor for extras.
Lots.
And a lot. You used to own a set.
I did.
Of it. Yeah.
Gillespie's.
And it was pretty terrible. Some of it was. Some of it was in pretty bad shape. Now, based on what we're seeing with the props that we have from the movie here in the shop, and also that one article that I read that they had upwards of 3,000 extras at any given point.
Wow.
This is like Starship Troopers level of prop manufacturing for background.
Yeah, I feel like this is, you know, hold my beer, Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is essentially Starship Troopers in ancient China.
Yeah. Yeah. I kept calling, you know, the bugs or the aliens bugs and, you know, bringing up Clendathu the entire time in the movie.
It did seem like it was Clendathu. But it was also hard to tell what part of China it was supposed to be in because none of the, you know, the like on the other side of the wall where the aliens were coming from looked like nothing like what you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
But of course, the whole movie is rather fantastical. It's sort of a,
right,
almost like a comic book version of what it was.
Well,
it
does say in the beginning of the movie that there are, you know, this is just one of those legends as to why the wall was built. So, you know, who knows?
And that's fine. And for just a go, have a good time, sit down and watch a silly, action-y, honestly very pretty movie.
Yeah.
It works for that. It really does. And special effects by ILM.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that I'll watch it ever, maybe again even, but I didn't hate it like that, and that surprised me. I got really lost in the backgrounds and the, you know, it did make me want to go watch The Last Emperor again.
I haven't seen that in so long.
So good.
The Last Emperor is a really good movie.
Yeah, because you know, like there was a child emperor in this film, and you know, makes you. I think the thing that I liked about it, it made me think a lot and want to explore the, you know, some of the history and mythology about what was going on.
Yeah. Now, this movie did, when it was first released, had quite a bit of controversy surrounding it because it was it was a movie filmed in China, co-produced Chinese-American film, but the main characters were Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of accusation of whitewashing, etc.
And the white dude coming in and saving.
Yeah, the white, what is it, the white savior thing, which is all too common in film.
Sure.
And it's completely unnecessary. The director, both directors and all the producers actually came out against that it was not that Matt Damon's character was written specifically, essentially for Matt Damon.
Yeah.
So I don't know the ins and outs on it. I'm not going to speak on it, but that is the controversy that surrounded it originally. And it did not do well in the theater.
Yeah.
But what it did do well at is what we talk about.
Props.
These props are gorgeous. Like everything that we have seen is amazing.
And it's history. So there should be a show about that. Props and history.
Props to, yeah, like talking about like how props and history come to, you could call it like props to history or something like that.
For history.
Props
not
for
two,
history. Two history. Better. I think props to history. Because it's kind of a double meaning.
Yeah.
And it's this brilliant, like $1 million brand. That's a genius thing. We should do that.
We should copyright that.
We should. Oh, yeah. I already did. Because that's me.
Yay.
So we'll work on a TV show and get that sorted out. But we looked at the auction on Prop Store. We were actually both thumbing through the catalog because it just dropped. While, like right before we started recording this podcast, the catalog dropped. And it's essentially like the same 7 lots over and over and over and over again across 14 or 15 pages.
Yeah. And let me be clear to say that's not like a slight to Prop Store or the film, but it really is a testament to Weta that they produced. I mean, this shield is stunning. I'm 10 feet away from it, and like it's got depth and character, and it's, I mean, it looks just like it did on the film, but it's foam.
Yeah, and it's this enormous amount of surface detail in it, and everything on it is just so.
So
it's quite brilliant, actually.
So for you know, like if seeing that they're military, right? And military tends to dress a lot alike, you know, and so that it makes logical sense that there's going to be a lot of these same costumes. But for Weta to be able to produce this many high quality costumes, like
Yeah, it's a testament to Weta. Right. Really is what it is. What are you doing? Why are you hitting the microphone?
Because I get all excited.
You keep smacking the microphone around.
I know, I just need to sit on my hands.
But no, it is an absolute testament to what Weta is capable of, because they produced these insanely beautiful costumes in massive quantities.
Yeah.
And now they are all up for auction.
I want one of the blue...
The crane core?
Yeah, the female that soldiers.
I'll be honest with you, the crane core, the first scene that you see him in that first battle, was the moment that I realized just how goofy the movie was. Because if you haven't seen the movie, spoilers, but...
It came out 2017.
Yeah, it's a four-year-old movie, essentially. But they're all women that are tethered to the top of the wall, and then they dive down. They just jump off the wall, and then they do a stabby stab of the aliens, and like 90% of them just get eaten when they get to the end of their rope. And then a few survive to come back. It's a complete waste of soldier and training and equipment, etc. Whereas they could just stand at the top of the wall and throw spears. They'd be more effective if they stood at the top of the wall and dropped rocks.
Well, my thought was that, or magnets.
Magnets, that's true.
My thought was that you remember when the White Walkers in Game of Thrones were, and they had guys that would just, you know, like walk across the wall, like on the arc of the rope and shear them off. Like, to me, that would have been a more effective
use of the crane corps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the army in this is broken down into different corps that have different jobs. And you have like Dragon Corps and Crane Corps and Bear Corps.
So there's archers, there's...
Deer Corps. So the Deer Corps, I do believe, are just regular old foot soldiers. Because the Dragon Corps, which are all red, are archers, missile troops of some sort. But the shield and sword that we have is Deer Corps, and their primary color is purple. And so far, I've gone through and put the watch marker on 19 suits of armor.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm not even through the whole catalog yet, that are all Deer Corps, because I want a full set of armor to go with the shield
and
sword.
That would be amazing.
Just because. Sure. And it looks, I mean, you never know how auctions are going to go. I mean, the last auction, the big summer premiere auction that they just had, the Entertainment Live memorabilia auction that we were at, that we covered, the prices for that went huge. They went far beyond what we were expecting. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows where this one's going to go?
Now, speaking of like the different corps, you know, so they have the like the archer corps, they have the crane, they have foot soldiers, they have the guys that, and then
they had a craft corps called foam corps, and they just made stuff for the
get out. Just get out.
I'm coming for you, Scott Reeder. I'm coming for you with the dad jokes.
I don't even know if he listens to this.
Probably not.
Probably not. He's got better things to do.
Right.
Like make dad jokes.
If you if you're on the TikToks, he's Scott Prop and Roll, and he's like nothing but dad jokes. And
he's way more than dad jokes. He's an actual working props master. He's prop mastering Walker Texas Ranger right now.
I told my wife that. She's like, that show's still on? I'm like, it's a different Walker.
Well, he actually worked on the original Walker with Chuck Norris.
Oh, wow.
And then he became props master for the new Walker Texas Ranger. And I consider him a friend. I've been down there to Austin and hung out with him a couple of times. And he's a lot of fun to hang out with. He's a super cool guy. But you're about to head to Texas.
I am.
What are you going to Texas for?
So two things I got going on. Well, So,
if you listened last week or 2 weeks, whenever we released the last one about the cocaine-fueled hot rod, what do we call it?
Cocaine-fueled hot wheel.
Yeah. So, I'm building
a replica of the car from the movie, the hit movie starring Mark Hamill, Corvette Summer. I'm building a replica of it, and it's got this really funky rear end and a really funky nose. So I am driving down to Dallas, Texas,
to pick up those parts that my buddy Mark has made for me to graft onto my car. But, you know, so we're planning this 13 and a half hour trip, and my wife's like, how far away is the Alamo from where we're going? I'm like, it's like 4.5 hours. And she's like, we got time.
Good looking out, Becky. Good looking out.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And she's like, we should go. And so the reason the Alamo is that several years ago, I built a replica of
Pee Wee Herman's bike from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And if you're familiar with the movie at all, you know that help him find it, and she's sitting there looking at her crystal ball and looking out the window, and there's a sign that says, like, Al and Moe's Garage, you know, with basement bargain prices or something like that. And she's, like, looking at her crystal ball, and she's like, it's in the Alamo, in the basement.
And so Pee-wee, like, hikes and goes to the Alamo, only to find out there isn't a basement in the Alamo, nor is his bike there. So it's been my long-running desire to take my Pee-wee Herman bike to the Alamo for no other reasons to just get photos of it sitting in front of the Alamo.
And you're going to post those pictures to Instagram.
Absolutely.
Like Instagram. on the day.
Oh yeah. Instagram, my Facebook, TikTok. Yeah.
Where would people find that?
Oh, well, what I'm making is my TikToks, and Instagram is Props with Greg. Greg with two G, well, three G's. G-R-E-G-G.
Is it because we're old that we're incapable of saying TikTok and that it's always the TikToks?
You know, I'm a teacher, and that's my day job. So I'm 40. I'll be 49 this year, and I find that I relate really well to my students. I teach high school, but like, and I say a lot of things that they say, and I'll say that to people my age, mm-hmm. and they're like, I don't understand. Like, I was talking to somebody recently, and they're like, oh, do you want pizza for dinner? I'm like, bet. And they're and they're like, Are you challenging? Is that yes? Like,
what does that mean?
And I'm like, no, that means that's cool. And they're like, why didn't you say that? I'm like, I don't know. That's what my kids say. But I find that I like to say things that are trendy to my kids in the most old way possible,
like the most awkward way.
Yeah, like so that I don't pretend like I'm as cool as they are, and I'm just tragically unhip. So.
My beautiful wife Erica was discussing this similar topic not too long ago with a friend of theirs that has teenagers, and my wife told them, said, if you really want to embarrass them, use terms that are just out of fashion in the wrong way, like drop them off at school and yell out the window, "Have a yeet day."
That's awesome,
right? And just dab it like as you're driving away. But this is my day job, weirdly, as being a prop maker and dealing with pop culture on a daily basis. So yeah. I will never say that I am hip with the times, to use a term that's way older than I am, but I understand it a little bit better. So like when you said bet, I know what that means.
Sure.
I know what a lot of these terms mean, but I don't, you know, that's because I'm forced to know what this stuff is because I deal with pop culture every day. But yeah, the TikToks.
TikToks.
It's just always going to be the TikToks and
the Facebook,
the FaceSpace, because we remember MySpace.
Oh yeah.
They tried so desperately to bring MySpace back. It was so sad.
I always get a kick out of the memes where it's like, you know, like something making fun of Tom from MySpace, and he's like,
"Dude's a billionaire now."
Yeah, he's like, "I got $1 billion, and I live on my own island. Like, what are you doing with your life?"
Yeah, Tom of MySpace does whatever he wants. So prop store, Great Wall to MySpace.
Right,
this is the trail we're on now. Let's see where it leads.
Let's wait till we start talking about bulletin boards on CompuServe servers.
Oh man, ICQ. Just going back to ICQ.
I am still friends with one of the first people I met on ICQ back in like 1996.
So a friend of mine was on ICQ a lot, and he's actually still friends with some of the people that he was. I only barely got onto ICQ before basically everybody moved away from it. And for those listening who don't know what ICQ is, it was a chat room.
Yeah.
And this is back in the early Wild West days of the internet, where there was no control over the internet. It was a crazy, weird place. And most of the like really strange memes of the day were pretty much generated in places like ICQ, or what we would come to know as memes, because that wasn't...
I hate the word meme. Let me just say, I hate the word meme.
I know that you hate the word meme, and I know that I just used it 4 times in a row, and that was maybe a little on purpose, but...
You're just being mean.
I'm being meme.
He's being mean to me, Mommy. Mom. Do you remember at ICQ, so like if there was a lag between like you'd say hello and you're like, why haven't they said hello back? You could ping them like you could on Hunt for Red October. Like,
yeah.
Let's ping the Americans.
One ping only, please.
That reminds me, Rusty messaged and he wants to do a podcast with us. Oh, so nice. I told him to bring ice cream.
He's bring ice cream. When do you want to do it?
When we get back. Okay. So we'll do Top Gun or
Hunt for Red October. Yeah. We can do both. Uh-oh. No. See, this is why you turn your phone off.
I turned mine off.
Well, I'm a jerk and I didn't. That was my mom calling.
Uh-oh.
So she listens to the podcast. So, Mom, when you called me on the 16th, I was doing the podcast.
I always imagine your mom is Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Because she was a truck driver? Yeah. Now, my mom is actually like this super sweet, like she just looks like somebody's grandma, you know, but she's like over six, like almost 6 feet tall, yeah. And she carries like two guns wherever she goes.
Of course.
Yeah, but
I mean, when you're only 6 foot tall, you've been, right? You know.
Well, she's a retired truck driver, and now she maintains state parks. She like every season goes to another state park and maintains state parks.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. That's Greg. You've never met Greg. But yeah. Where were
Mad we? Props, yo.
Fuck. This is what happens. Right? Just, everything goes to
listen,
shit.
Listen, you're not paying for us to talk about props, really. You think you are, but you're paying us to talk.
You know what, though? We get a lot of feedback from a lot of people that are like, we love it. Oh, yeah, your phone's off, huh? I see your phone's going off. Look at that. But we get a lot of feedback from people that say they love it when we meander.
Yeah. Well, we do that.
We do that all the time. But so a lot of people listening to our podcast, it seems to them... It seems very much like just two friends having a conversation, which is exactly what it is. We just managed to monetize it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the funny thing is, like, you know, so Michael and I had to run some errands, and we did that, and we started talking. It's like, no, wait, we got to save this for the podcast. We started talking about
Great Wall, and we're like, no, let's not use up our one-liners yet.
Although I do think that somebody should just record us all the time.
I feel like we should be followed around by a camera crew and then turn it into a TV show.
And then have Morgan Freeman narrate it.
You know what? I'd be okay with, you know, Morgan Freeman would be the first choice.
Sure.
But I would be all about Samuel L. Jackson narrating it too. Unedited.
Although I think that Samuel L. Jackson might blush at how much you and I say the word fuck.
I doubt it. It's Samuel L. Jackson. I feel like we're on par. Yeah. I mean, in fairness.
We can have a competition with him. Come on, motherfucker.
I do not want to have a swearing competition with Samuel L. Jackson. No. I feel like we'd lose. Because he has the acting chops to pull it off in such a way that we can't. And I think that his delivery would be so much better than ours.
I agree.
This is what happens on a prop podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's like related, right?
In a way, it is. So we're in the new shop.
Yes.
The brand new shop. And we, on August 1st, if you're listening to this after August 1st, it's already up. On August 1st, we will be releasing a pre-order list.
Yes.
For people to pre-order what we have been working on for months.
Months.
Getting ready to sell replicas of both the Book of the Dead and the Book of Amun-Ra from 1999's The Mummy.
Starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. Is it Weiss or Weiss?
I believe it's Weiss. And
James Bond's wife.
Arnold Vosloo, who plays Imhotep.
And Patricia Valaquez and the one guy. I don't know. And Kevin something or other.
Excellent.
That one guy who was in that one movie, but
he's been in a bunch of different movies. But Odette Ferrer as one of the Magi. It's Bud. I don't know if he wants his name out there, but you introduced me to him. He's one of your former students.
Yeah, so Bill. Bill was one of my students at one of my first schools I taught at, and he and I just hit it off. So here's my story about Bill. So you know that, well, maybe you don't know, but you know.
He was pointing at the microphone.
About 5 years ago, I got this $10,000 grant
to travel to the United Kingdom and document all of the remaining police boxes from Doctor Who. And I had to write this grant application for it. It's for
teachers to kind of revitalize ourselves and stuff like that. But I had to write an application to justify why I did it. And so I wrote it so that I could document and build a replica of the TARDIS, and actually Bill was the inspiration for that, because he when he found out I was building props and stuff, and one day he's like, you should build a TARDIS. And I'm like, I think that's beyond me. And like, it really stuck with me that I just told a kid that I can't do something. And like, I'm supposed to be the one that says, you can be anything you want, or you can do, you know, like, all you have to do is try. Like, it's not a matter of how successful you are. It's about how, you know, much you're trying. And like, here I am telling a kid, like, I'm unwilling to try because I'm scared. And so I wrote that grant with that in mind. And that's how I got that $10,000 to travel to Europe. So.
Well, I have seen your TARDIS, and it is quite impressive.
Thank you.
So, but Bill.
Yes.
Mr. Bill. It turns out he's a fan of mine.
Yeah.
And through
the... Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. You're an awesome dude. Through your machinations, as well as his own, Bill gave me the production master of the Magi sword from Mummy Returns.
No, I think it's actually from the original Mummy.
Is it from
yeah.
the original Mummy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because it's seen in Mummy Returns. I was trying to find
I'm pretty sure it's the same the original Mummy.
Okay. So either way, it's the production master made out of wood.
Yeah.
Like they do. And I'm going to be making a mold of it and
That'd
casting
be
it.
Awesome.
And of course, the very first one made with the original materials that they used, which they used self-skinning rubber to make them with an aluminum rod for support. We'll go to him.
Oh, nice.
I'll paint it up and give it to him.
Oh, you know what would be really cool is to have a shelf with the two books and then the swords crossed above it.
And with all the canopic jars and and the scarabs and
we
the
need
keys.
A whole wing to the shop.
A whole wing dedicated to the Mummy.
Yeah.
I'd be about that. I love that movie. I absolutely.
Scarabs on the wall.
You remember in the first Mummy when they're on the riverboat and he's got his bag that he unrolls in front of him? That thing came up for sale on Prop Store. Aha, we've come back to it. Good Lord. It came up for sale on Prop Store not too long ago, the original bag. Of course, none of the contents, because those were all separate props. But I came within an hour of winning it. But in the last hour, somebody outbid me by like $900, and it was just too much. But I almost owned that thing. I was really upset by that.
That sucks. That would have been an amazing piece to own.
Because I know what all that stuff is that was in the bag. And I absolutely would have put all of that in the bag and had that as a display. You know, obviously fakes, because I wouldn't put live firearms on display or anything
like
that.
Yeah, no, that would be silly.
Those all live in safes in my house. But I can make castings of everything. So, but I was really, really mucked up about that I did not get.
How hard would it be to replicate that?
Well, I have really good photographs of it because Prop Store, if you are interested in any props, like looking up props that may have sold on Prop Store. One of the best things you can do is actually go to Prop Store and just look up what they've sold in the past because they have amazing photography of everything.
Right.
And Prop Store is not just this great website where you can go and bid on or buy props. It's also a great place for reference because they have all these wonderful photographs of screen use props. And I've done that more than once.
Oh, yeah.
Gone to Prop Store and be like, what did this thing actually look like?
Well, we did that, honestly, a lot with working on the Book of the Dead because they sold the hero book that opened. Mm-hmm. And right now, like, we're going to do this in a couple of phases. We're going to do a totally closed book. Eventually, we'll do one that's like a book that opens but not has pages and kind of like a jewelry box /
journal one.
Journal box. Yeah, and then we'll
That was really heavily requested.
Yeah.
One that had a journal in it, and I started looking up different types of paper, and I found that I can get quite a few sheets of vellum, an actual vellum journal that goes inside the Book of the Dead or the Book of Amun-Ra. Now, I know, we both know, that the Book of the Dead will sell better than the Book of Amun-Ra, but we have to offer it. Now, the fully functioning books with the working lock, which we have a working prototype of the lock, and we have all the pages. When we finally do the fully working books with all the pages, et cetera, those will be an exceptionally limited run.
Yes.
Because they are very, very difficult to build.
Yeah.
And they will not be cheap.
No. But, you know, the person who wants them will want them.
We'll buy them, yeah.
And to be honest with you, I mean, I hate to say this, not to sound snotty, but if nobody wants them and we own two of the three sets, because we're going to make a set for whom?
Well, we are, of course, making it. And then these are the fully functioning ones we're talking about. We are making a set each for ourselves because we are the ones that make them. We're the ones that benefit first. And then we are building another set that is going to be donated to the Indianapolis Children's Museum, the greatest children's museum on the face of the earth.
Yes, it's amazing.
And it is also the biggest one. And I'm actually in talks with them to go and film with their movie props that they have in their archive, which is quite a few, because they have one of the screen-used hooks from Hook, which we have met the maker of, Tony Swatton. And they own one of the ET phone home machines. And
built by the original maker, who made like 14 of them. And most of them went to museums and teachings type places.
And they also have one of the golden tickets from Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Oh, nice. They have a bunch of stuff from Star Trek. They have quite a few props in their collection. I guess a whole prop collection was donated to them at one point.
Oh, very awesome.
So I'm still chit-chatting with them back and forth. And so, I'm hoping to work with them in the future.
Yeah, so if there's only three sets of those, my heart's not broken.
No, and if I have a fully working set of the Book of the Dead and the Book of Amun-Ra in the lobby of my shop, I'm not mad.
Right.
So but August 1st on my Instagram, my Twitter, Greg's Instagram, Greg's Facebook, my Facebook, everywhere that we are social media related, there will be a link to that pre-order list. So you'll be able to get, they will be, all the books will be limited run because they have to be.
Yeah.
So if you want one, get on it.
Yup.
So prop store.
Yes. Prop store.
Auction. This wonderful auction
starts today. Now. Yes. I think starting now.
It started a couple hours ago. Mm-hmm. Did it start a couple hours ago? Well, no, about an hour ago, our time.
Yeah.
So it just started. By the time you're listening to it, it will have been going for a couple hours, if you listen to this as we release. But it goes from July 16th, which is today, to July 30th. And then the bidding is open on all of these insanely good lots of amazing pieces of armor and kit from the Great Wall from 2016. And I strongly recommend you go to propstore.com or propstore.uk. And get registered to bid on that.
It's some good looking stuff. Even, you know, like I said, even if it's not the best movie in the world, and you know, that's totally subjective, but just getting to own a screen use piece made by Weta, the same people that made stuff for the Lord of the Rings movies, like, you know, that's, I mean, it's like, oh, it's not my favorite Picasso.
Right.
But Picasso still did it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And it is. At the end of the day, for us and folks like us and prop collectors, it's about the props, not the movie itself.
Yeah.
Like the props that came from, what was it, 47 Ronin, were gorgeous. The movie was crap.
Yeah.
But the props were amazing. I would love to have gotten a suit of armor from that, but I missed the auction. But it was, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
But the movie was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the course of my life that I've like gotten props from films that I hated the movie, but love the prop.
I have props from Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, wow.
And the movie's garbage.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but the movie's garbage. So
what can you do? I mean, I fell in love with the blaster from Blade Runner long before I could stomach the movie. And it took me a lot of watchings to finally like, oh, okay, I like this movie.
You see the benefit of the movie. Yeah. It has some good scenes in it. I mean, but I could see, like, it's kind of a slog sometimes, like some parts of the movie. I know we're about to get a whole lot of hate over this because there are those who worship Blade Runner as...
Oh, I think it's an amazing movie, but it took me like 8 watchings to finally click to it.
Yeah,
and like,
but it, at first, it's a bit of a slog to get through. Blade Runner 2049, same pacing. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a slog to get through as well.
I liked it.
Really good.
I liked it better.
I did too.
So
I did like that Harrison Ford is pretty much just playing himself anymore in all the movies he's in.
Yeah.
Particularly Blade Runner 2049. He's just this cantankerous old dude. Because that's pretty much him in real life.
All right. And now he's filming Indiana Jones 5.
Yes. Some set photos have actually been leaked from that. And it is set in 1969. At least parts of it. Because they're de-aging him. Because there's been some shots of him with mocap dots on his face, and that's for de-aging. So it may be they just de-aging him for 1969 because it has something to do with the moon landing.
Really?
There is apparently Mads Mikkelsen is playing a Nazi, so we're back to his favorite people in old time.
I think it had to have Nazis. Well, you know, of course, you know, you wouldn't have gotten to the moon without the Nazis.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like my favorite line in The Right Stuff is, our Nazis are better than their Nazis.
Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah.
Our Germans are better than their Germans.
Because of Operation, and it has something to do with Operation Paperclip, which, for those who don't know, Operation Paperclip was the transferring of Nazi scientists to the United States after World War II, yeah, and using them to essentially build our rocket program.
Wernher von Braun.
Because if not for Nazis like Wernher von Braun, we would not have gotten to the moon. Now, that is not in any way, shape, or form endorsing their politics. That's just the facts of history.
Right.
Those are the guys that got us to the moon.
Yeah.
Not that we talked about that a whole lot. It was sort of everybody knew it, but nobody talked about it.
See, I always thought that the next Indiana Jones movie should have been him going to Argentina.
To hunt them down?
Well, not hunt them, but hunt some religious artifact that got smuggled to Argentina.
And then run into Nazis?
Yeah.
That would have been so good.
So, and it'd be like, what? It's a shame Michael Sheard's no longer with us. Michael Sheard played Hitler in The Last Crusade, but it would have been...
Just run into him.
Run into him and be like...
We've met. What the hell? What the hell?
But
yeah, no, it's looking interesting because this will be technically the fourth installment of Indiana Jones, because we don't talk about that other one.
Yeah, people keep saying, I mean, I think it's just collectively a bad dream.
Yeah, it's like Shazam with Sinbad. Everybody thinks it was real, but it didn't happen.
No.
And now we're going to start some fights. But yes, of course, there was the crystal skull, which a lot of people pretend that it didn't exist, but it did.
So this is one of them.
I didn't like it either. The fifth installment of Indiana Jones, not including young Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So this will be technically his sixth portrayal of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Because he played himself. He played Indiana Jones, of course, in one episode of young Indiana Jones.
Yeah, with Sean Patrick Flannery.
Sean Patrick Flannery, yeah. Who played? I really liked that show.
I did too. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and that episode had to do, I believe, with jazz clubs. I believe and segregation and racism. So I remember the episode quite clearly, as a matter of fact. But if anyone is interested in getting their hands on some Weta made, absolutely gorgeous props, go to propstore.com or propstore.uk.
Yeah,
and register for the auction, which runs from today, July 16th. Through July 30th.
And, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, you know, it
doesn't matter.
I was going to say, just rent it and, you know, watch it and enjoy it for what it is.
Go into it with no expectations.
And you will not be disappointed.
I mean, you might be. But at the end of the day, it's a fun popcorn munching movie.
Right.
But, Greg, if somebody wanted to find you on the internets, where would they go?
On the TikToks, I'm What I'm Making. And on Instagram, it's Props with Greg, G-R-E-G-G. And that's really just about it. And where would we find you, Michael?
On any social media, you would find me at Props to History on Facebook.com/makes things and on YouTube at Props to History. This has been the Prop History Podcast.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.